I want to encourage you. Number two, I want to bring us back to the simplicity that is found in Christ Jesus. And number three, I want to restore the joy of our salvation unto us. Amen. Well, thank you. Your checks are in the mail. They're small, but... You know, the Bible tells us to encourage one another. There's a reason for that. We face the devil and depression every single day we get up. And we need to encourage one another. Because if you can't receive encouragement, all that's left is discouragement. So we need to encourage one another. I heard a father telling his son one day, he said, "Son, I want you to be an encourager." And his son was smarter than most kids. He said, "Dad, how will I know who needs encouraging?" He said, "If they're breathing, they need encouraging." And I think there's a real truth to that, that we just need people who are around us that will help us, that will encourage us, and just walk in this life out and being who God called us to be and being comfortable in our own skin. Have you ever thought about how we teach children to walk and talk? We actually do it through encouragement. Most of the time we don't think about it, but we teach our children to walk and talk by encouraging them. They start out and they're falling down, and we don't ever say to that kid, "Stop that, wait until you can walk to walk." No, if that kid makes two steps, we go nuts. "Wow, he's walking, she's walking, yay!" We smile, we clap. The kids are like, "Watch what's coming next." And they're running before you know it because we encourage them. We don't wait till our kids can talk to encourage them. The first time they try to say words, we make up what they're saying. The child goes, "He said dad, I know it." And we get all excited. Why can't we be like that when it comes to our Christian brothers and sisters? And just encourage you to walk. If you fall, you try to walk. Praise God. Get back up and try again. If they're trying to talk to Christian talk, they may not get it all right. They might not know the verse exactly. But if they try, can't we just say, "Well done, man. Way to go." Why can't we encourage one another like we do our children? It's just so sad to me. I love my Christian life. I really love the fact that Jesus loved me and died for me. I get up every day excited about what Jesus is going to do today, and I get to be a part of it. And I want to encourage others to enjoy their Christian life. Now listen, if you're not enjoying your Christian life, one or two things is happening. You're doing the wrong thing, or you're doing the right thing the wrong way. Okay, I'll have to explain that, I can tell. Write that down. They didn't get that. Did you know Jesus told the disciples to not give like the Pharisees gave? It's not enough for you to give. It's a heart attitude that Jesus wants. He said, don't pray like the Pharisees pray. They pray to be seen of men. Just pray. You know, so many people, they change their voice when they start praying. They're talking to you like this, and then they go to pray, "Oh God, most holy one." Oh, shut up before you hurt somebody. If you're from the Bronx, man, God would want you to say, "Hey, yo, God, it's me, your homie." And God would get it. I promise you. You don't believe that? He does. He understands all of that. God wants us to be encouraged in our Christian life. And if you're not enjoying your salvation, you're doing something wrong, or you're doing the right thing the wrong way. I want to bring us back to the simplicity that is found in Christ Jesus. In Corinthians 11:3, he says, "I'm concerned that just like Eve was lured away by Satan subtly, you would be lured away from the simplicity that is found in Christ Jesus." Did you know you can go to a bar anywhere, and if you had the opportunity to sing and you started singing Amazing Grace, God will show up. I've seen it happen. God, I don't know if you know this, but God isn't uncomfortable in the bar. I was asked one time to go witness to a man who was an alcoholic. And his aunt asked me to go pray for him. And she said, "By the way, he's in the bar." I said, "That's okay, God's there." And so I showed up. I was not prepared for what I saw. This guy played professional football at one time. Big, strong, blonde hair, blue eyes, handsome looking man, could have gone on any GQ magazine, and he lost his career over alcohol. And if you're going to talk to him, you have to go to the bar because that's where he is every day. So I went to the bar and I said to him, can I have just a few minutes to talk with you? He said, sure. So we went down and sat at a table and I started sharing God's plan for him and how much God loves him. And while I was talking to him, I started seeing something going on behind me. Now, for those of you that have never been in the bar, praise God, well done. But I've been in enough bars that when stuff goes on behind you, you're going to need to pay attention. And so I turned and this lady got kind of startled. She said, I'm sorry, can I sit down? I need what you're talking about. And I said, sure. And I led them both to the Lord in that bar. Yeah, amen. Come on. And when I got through praying, you could have heard a pin drop because Jesus rules when you let him rule. Do you know I've prayed in Walmart amongst the fruits and vegetables and God just shows up. If you'll just pray, God will show up. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to see when people are in need. Just be used by God. I love the simplicity that I have in Christ Jesus. Now, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I'm not saying anything bad about my parents, but I came to the Lord later in life, and not being raised in a Christian home, I actually had some benefits that others don't have. I didn't know there were different types of churches and different ways people acted and what they believed and what they didn't. I didn't know any of that. I got saved and the guy said, read the red and pray for the power. And I thought that sounded good to me. So I read what Jesus said and read and prayed for the power and people got delivered, people got healed, people got filled with the Holy Ghost, marriages got put back together, runaway kids came home. There's a simplicity in Jesus that if we'll say, yes, Lord, I love the simplicity of just following Jesus. I didn't have anything, so when it said to do it, I just did it. I didn't know that I was supposed to go to Bible school. I didn't know I was supposed to go to seminary. I just didn't know. And 2 years into it, people are just, their lives are being changed. The Lord said, now you need to go so that you can know what you're talking about. And I did go to Bible school. So I'm not saying that's not a bad thing. I'm just telling you, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know God couldn't use me. My wife is here. You can verify the story. I was dumber than a box of rocks when I came to the Word of God, but I knew I was saved. I knew I loved Jesus. I read that there were divers temptations, and I was grateful I was not a diver. It's like, it says diverse temptations, but I thought it said divers, and so it's like, I'm not a diver. I was really dumb, but God used me anyway. I didn't know it was Job, it was his name. I thought it was Job, and I had one, so I didn't read it for a long time. And in my ignorance and my love for God, he just used me over and over again. I didn't know you had to get prayed up to deal with devils and demons. I just walked into wherever I was and believed God to use me, and he did everywhere I went. There's a simplicity in Jesus we need to get back to. You know, the beautiful thing about the gospel and the simplicity that's found in Jesus is that a five-year-old can get it if he wants to. A five-year-old can come to Christ if he wants to, and they do all the time. The longer you live, the odds work against you coming to Jesus because you get to a place where you think you know enough. You don't need that. But children believe a sock can talk. They just have faith, right? We need to get back to the simplicity of just Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. Now, I'm not saying, I think one of the things that's going to be happening in the next 10 to 20 years is you're going to see, we're going to have to get a little bit deeper in the Word of God so we can defend our faith. I think there's going to need a place where we know more of the Word of God than we do right now so we can defend what we believe. I believe that's coming. But there's a simplicity in Jesus that if you'll just share Jesus, lives will be changed. And there's a simplicity in that I really, really love. Now, some people go out of their way to make the gospel complex. And I think there's a simplicity that we need to get back to. And so I'm encouraging us just to remember the simplicity that's found in the fact that God loved you and gave his son for you. He went to the cross for you and I and paid the price for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And I want to restore unto us this joy that comes of knowing I missed hell and made heaven. Do you remember when you first got saved? I was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and I got saved. And like I said, I was just wound up about God. I was preaching everywhere I went. I would go to the park and preach in the park, and I would go to the jails and preach in the jails. I would go anywhere there was an opening and just start sharing because I loved Jesus, and I wanted other people to love Jesus. And when I got saved, it seemed like the whole world changed in a moment. The sky was bluer, the grass was greener, my wife was prettier. It was incredible. I love what God did in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. This is going to make some of you men mad, but I don't care. You can deal with me later. One of the first things that happened when I got saved on a Sunday and filled with the Holy Spirit the following Sunday, and the first words the Lord spoke to me were about taking my dirty clothes and putting them in the clothes hamper. Because I would take a shower or a bath, whatever, and I'd leave my clothes here, and we had a place to put them. Ginger would put them there. But see, the Lord knows what my wife needs more than I do. And it's like, well, they're right there next to the clothes hamper. I know. That's why it shouldn't take too long. Pick them up, put them in the clothes hamper. Second thing he said to me, kiss your wife goodbye before you go to work. And it's like, you guys just have to understand our life. Ginger's always been able to stay at home when she's been married to me, so she doesn't have to get up. I iron my own clothes. She'll iron them if I need it. We have a great relationship, but she sleeps and I go to work. And I said, Lord, I'm going to have to wake her up. You don't get that? Okay. Guy was asked one time, he said, do you wake up grumpy? He said, no, I let her sleep. She doesn't wake up grumpy. It's just a joke. Let it go, okay? But I said, he says, kiss her goodbye. So I had to wake her up. So I woke her up, and she's like, what, is everything okay? I said, yeah, I just wanted to kiss you goodbye. I came home to a new wife. God knows how to work in your marriage in the most simple of ways. Just do what he says, right? I didn't have a whole lot of religious stuff. He said, pick up your clothes. I picked up my clothes. He said, kiss your wife. I kissed my wife. David said in Psalms 52:12, he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, it's crazy to me how much joy there is when we first get saved, and then immediately people start trying to tell us what we should and shouldn't do. They got all the do's and all the don'ts, and I just believe God will get you there if you'll just stay in love with them. That if you'll just see, yeah. So some of you get this. Again, I'm going to be totally vulnerable today. Some of you will probably never listen to me again because you can't believe how honest I can be. But I got saved. I got Spirit-filled, and I love Jesus. They took me out witnessing the following Saturday. Have I told you my story? They took me out witnessing the following Saturday after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's what we did, knock on doors and all that kind of stuff. So I had two elders with me. The first door we knocked on, a transvestite opened the door. That's 40 years ago. And I start sharing Jesus. He took off running. They didn't tell me I wasn't supposed to chase him, so I took off after him. I got something to say. Wait. When I got back, the elder said, you're going to make it. I loved the joy of my salvation, and I love my joy today. And I've been doing this for like 44 years now. I love Jesus, and he loves me, and I love my salvation because of it. And God is still working on me. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. But I love Jesus, and I want us to get back to the joy. David said that, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. This was his prayer right after his sin with Bathsheba and being called on the carpet over it by the prophet. This is his prayer. Because how many of us, after we've missed the mark, feel like we're terrible? And the enemy tries to tell us how bad we are. God can't forgive you. You've asked for forgiveness too many times. And God can't. On and on it goes. This is after David's. He had a man murdered. Listen, this guy was of such integrity. His death letter, he handed to him. And he delivered it, not knowing it had his death sentence in it. He was a man of integrity. And David had him slain because of his sleeping with Bathsheba. And it is this prayer that David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Can I tell you, for the last 3 years, there have been two things that have rocked my world when it comes to the gospel. And one is the power of joy, and the other is the power of questions. And I don't have time to talk about questions today, but I think we truly underestimate the power of joy in our life. The ability to rejoice in any circumstances and move on with God. If you have a Bible, would you turn to Romans chapter 5? I'm going to read verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. Can I tell you, God's love has a direction. It is toward you. Did you see that? I didn't make it up. Let's read it again. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Not much less than, much more than. Let me help you all out. Let me just break it down because I'm an archer. And I'm fairly decent at it. I can still hit the target at 60 yards, and it's something I thoroughly enjoy. Sin is called missing the mark. Can I tell you, God loved you when you didn't even know there was a target? God demonstrated his love to you while you were yet sinners. God loved me not only when I wasn't serving him, he loved him when I was diametrically opposed to him. God loved me then. God loved me. See, I'm aiming at the target every day. I know what the target is now, and I'm going to tell you what that target is because most of us don't know. But I aim for the target every day. But even if I missed the target, God loved me when I didn't even know there was a target. How much more can he love me now that he knows I'm at least aiming at the bullseye? Right? He says, God demonstrated, he revealed his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he puts an exclamation point on it. Much more than, would you write that down in your notes? Would you commit that to memory? Much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Can I tell you, because I didn't have any religious background, when I got saved, I believed I was saved. I believed I missed hell and made heaven. I was really excited. This is a great deal. I loved the Lord. But I've been to churches where you were better off lost than you are saved. Because when you were lost, at the end of the service, the band would be playing, just as I am without one plea. And the preacher would be, come, just as you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Come just as you are. God loves you. God's calling to you. Come just as you are. And then you get saved, and all of a sudden you got to do all these things. I was better off lost. At least God loved me then. Now if I don't measure up, all kinds of bad things happen if you listen to him preach. That's terrible, beloved. God, there's a simplicity in God loved you before you were even trying to love him. All right. Now, I don't know how much time you got, but I got all day. So you might want to get on board here. Let me give you another example. My wife and I met in Odessa, Texas, and she worked at a convenience store that was like a block and a half from the apartment complexes I rented. And I would go down, and I loved my conversations with her. She was sharp. She was bright. We had great conversation, and I thought, I want to be with this girl. So I started going 2 and 3 times a week and buying milk. I buy like 5 gallons of milk a week and pour 3 of them out. It's just, it took her a month to even recognize who I was. I didn't leave that great of an impression, but I kept coming. I kept coming. And finally, she started realizing, hey, this guy shows up a lot. I don't know if, I can't remember now. It's been, you know, years and years, 44 years or so. I don't remember if she said, do you really drink this much milk? And it's like, no, I just want to be here with you. And so we started dating, and the next thing you know, here we are married. But how much more can I show her I love her now that she's willing to receive it? I was trying to show her I cared. I was trying to show her she meant something to me. She was oblivious. My love didn't change. We're starting to get it. My love didn't change. Hey, you love your kids. Have they ever got mad at you and wanted to go live at grandma's? You know, I'm a grandparent. I get it. My grandkids, they always, my daughter tells me, when the grandkids say, but Papa said, she knows the argument is over, that she loses. So I get that. But have your kids ever got mad at you because you disciplined them or didn't let them go somewhere, and now they're upset at you and they're not going to talk to you and they give you the cold and all that kind of stuff? Your love for them hasn't changed. But as soon as they get over it and want your love back, you're able to show them what you wanted to show them the whole time, but they were unwilling and unable to receive it. God loved you when you were yet sinners. Now, let me write this down. This is important. I'm going to tell you what the bullseye is, but I'm going to tell you what it's not first. It is not sinning less. It is not being like Jesus. The goal is not learning the whole Bible. The goal from Genesis to Revelations is knowing God. God's desire, those the things we talked about, sinning less, looking like Jesus, those are all byproducts of being with Jesus. Have you noticed we've been married long enough now, we start finishing one another's sentences. Is anybody else there yet? I start thinking, man, I would sure like that. And she would say, it's like, that's just what I was thinking. The more time we spend together, the more we think alike. The more we start looking alike. The more we start going to the same places. That's the simplicity of just walking with Jesus. The more you spend time with God, the more you talk like God, the more you think like God, the more you walk like God. Just stay attached to the vine, right? Have you ever seen an apple tree groaning to make an apple? Oh. You don't go by orchards and hear them making all kinds of noises. They're not working at it. The branch, it can't produce the fruit, but it can bear it. All it has to do is stay attached to the... Oh, I'm preaching so good. All you got to do is stay attached to the tree, man. It's simple. It's simple. God loved you when you were still a sinner. How much more? Now that you're at least aiming, can he demonstrate that love for you? How easily the enemy, like with Eve, lures us away into thinking we're missing something. Man, the life God has for you is far better than anything you could think for yourself. God wants you to prosper and be in health. God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy your Christian life. People ought to ask you like they ask me what I'm on. I'm closer to 70 than I am 60, but at Walmart they ask me, what are you on? Because they can't believe somebody's happy. I'll tell you what I'm on. You got time to listen? I got time to tell you. I was lost, running from God. I was digging my way to hell on my own. I'm going to get there. And God stopped me in dead stream. God loved me when I was yet a sinner. Much more than. Not much less than. There's a simplicity in this that I hope we do not get away from. Now, I'm going to help you. But I'm going to challenge you. And I'm going to tell you right up front, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to tell you why most of you cannot overcome the sin in your life. Because all of us want to follow God. All of us want to do what God wants us to do, but all of us have struggles that the Lord is working on. Well, I'm going to tell you why most of us cannot overcome that particular sin, whatever it is. And this is going to blow you away. It's because you actually love God, and the enemy uses your love for God against you. Oh, yep, I get it. That's like giving you a mathematical equation and you don't know the answer yet. It's okay. See this water? Don't look at it. No, really. Do not look at that water. Now, I'm sure all of you said before you came to church today, man, I sure hope the preacher doesn't ask me to not look at his water because I'm really struggling with looking at water. Anybody? I said, don't look at it. Some of you aren't looking at it, but you want to. Why do you want to? Because I created a law. It's a stupid law. Nobody's going to do anything if you look at my water. 1 Corinthians 15:56. The strength of sin is the law. I made a law, and immediately you start struggling. You're trying to overcome because you're saying no to, I'm not going to look at the water. I'm not going to look at the water. I really want to look at the water. The devil uses your and my love for God against us. We really do want to stop. And we think saying no is how we do it. But saying no strengthens that thing in us. Okay, let me help you out. Don't think of a red-faced monkey. Don't do it. Don't you think about a red-faced monkey. Y'all thought about a red-faced monkey. You know why? Because I told you not to. Nobody here was thinking about a red-faced monkey before I said don't think about it. Have you ever said, I'm not going to let that person make me mad? I'm not going to let that person make me mad. Doesn't matter what they do they? They're not going to make me mad. They haven't even said a word, and you're already so mad you want to punch them in the mouth. Why? Because you created a law. Because you're trying to try and not think about something, you're thinking about it. This is simple, but the enemy uses against us. I've helped so many people overcome all kinds of addictions. And addictions are always the same thing. Addictions are always our inability to tell our flesh no. Most of us have no idea how strong our flesh is. But I can tell you how strong it is. Try and fast. You know, I'm speaking to a generation that every time I talk about fasting, they want to talk about their cell phones. And I think you need to fast your cell phone for sure. But that's not what we're talking about. When Jesus said, when you fast, he didn't say if you fast. It was a given. If you're a follower of the Lord, you should fast. He said, when you fast, don't paint your face and get all, oh, I'm so dumb because I'm fasting for God. He said, you do it in secret. Your God will reward you openly, right? So when we fast, and fasting, when it was written, there wasn't even such a thing as a cell phone. He was actually talking about food. You know why? Because your flesh rules your life more than you think. Some of you are hungry right now, and the more I talk about burgers and fries, the hungrier you get. And pretty soon, your stomach is going to start talking to you. Feed me. Starts growling. Feed me. And we think we're having hunger pains. No, beloved, hunger pains don't start till the fourth day without food. You've got a habit pain. Write it down. Put that on your refrigerator. That'll make you happy. I know how to empty a church. If I was going to tell you I'm going to talk about fasting, about three of you would show up. And then you'd want to eat afterwards. There's a simplicity found in Jesus we need to get back to. Let me tell you a story. My son, who's in heaven now, When he was very, very little, till the time he went home to be with Jesus, he had two things he wanted to know in the morning and in the evening. Where's Dad? First thing he said when he got up in the morning, where's Dad? Last thing he said when he went to bed, where's Dad? He just wanted to be with me. He loved my truck and riding in my truck with me. Because I took him everywhere I went, he thought he was more grown up than he was. At like 9 years old, he walks up to a friend of ours and he goes, so, how's the wife? 9 years old. But see, he's talking like he was hearing. He heard me say that 1,000 times, so he thought that's how we all talk. He loved being with me, and he would hold my hand, and we'd walk out to the garage, and I'd run power tools, and sparks would be flying, dust would be flying, skill saws going, or the grinder. He'd hold my hand, and he'd be wincing, but he knew it was okay as long as he was holding my hand. He just walked with me. Can I tell you something really beautiful? It's really, really simple. He never got in any trouble as long as he was holding my hand. Ooh. What if we just believed God was with us wherever we went, holding our hand? What if we got to the simplicity of just knowing God loves me? I mean, really loves me. Can I help you with a misunderstanding of a scripture? I don't know why I ask. I'm going to do it anyway. Listen to this scripture. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know how we hear that? I'm going to prove to God I love him by keeping his commandments. And that is not what he said at all. If you love me, I'll give you the ability to keep my commandments. Not the other way around. Michael wanted to be with me just because he knew he was loved. And he wanted to be where I was. He wanted to do what I did. When my daughter, who has my most precious grandkids, was little, when she was like 5 years old, I had a weight bench behind the house. And it had a place to do reps. And I would take that barbell, set it down on the ground, and she would say, Dad, I'm going to help you work out. I said, okay. What that meant was I had to lift up the weight of the bar and whatever weights I had on it, plus her, because I would pick it up, and she would hold the bar, and she's helped me work out. She's holding on for dear life. I would pick her up and kiss her on the way up, kiss her on the way down. Can I tell you, as a father, I was in it for the kiss. Oh. We're going to help God. Most of the time, we're just dead weight. But he's strong enough to pick us up and set us down. And he's in it for the kiss. Yeah. I got a lot more, but you're unable to handle it because your flesh is screaming, feed me! I know I was probably supposed to turn this over to somebody else, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to stand, and when the musicians come, I want to pray. Some of you, bless your hearts. You got saved a little bit ago, and you're already so struggling with following God. Some of you have been saved 50, 60 years, man, you're struggling. God does not want you to struggle in your Christian life. He just wants you to hold his hand, be with him, walk with him. I taught my grandkids how to shoot a bow, and they very seldom hit the target. But I told them right up front, the goal is not hitting the bullseye. I'll show you how to do that in time. I just want you to spend time with me. We take them fishing. I said, we're going to catch fish, but that's not the goal. The goal is being with me. I want you to know me, and I want to know you. From Genesis, with walking with Adam in the cool of the day, till the end of time when God says, depart from me, I never knew you. Not, you didn't give enough money, you didn't pray enough, you didn't read Greek and Hebrew. I never knew you. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that you would know God in Jesus Christ whom he sent. Can I tell you, beloved, God loves you so, so much. Head bows, eyes closed. I just want you to picture in your mind's eye the Lord Jesus looking down on you and smiling. Just think about your kids or your grandkids when they were first born. They couldn't do anything for you. When they were first born, all they did was cry and mess their britches, cost you a gazillion dollars. But you'd have given anything for them. Why? Your love for them. God has given everything for you and I. He's given the most valuable thing heaven and earth has to offer, His Son, Jesus Christ. So when I think about this, I think about how my face lights up when I see my grandkids unexpectedly. Usually I know I'm going to see them, but sometimes we've gone to a store and they just happen to be in the same store. And I can't help but have a Cheshire Cat grin when I see them. The Bible said, God lifts up His countenance upon you. He looks at you with a smiling face and gives you peace. Today, can we just be encouraged that God's love is bigger than we imagined? And that He wants us to enjoy our Christian life with Him? That if we would just walk with Him, He will take us where we need to go. He will transform lives as we just yield to Him. Jesus loves you today. He's given everything to demonstrate that love to you. God's love is not demonstrated in your bank account or you keeping your job. God's love is showed to you at the cross. This is how much I loved you. He gave it all. But He wants you to continue to know His love for you. Much more now, not much less. God is so excited about you. Yeah, but I missed the mark. Okay. It's been paid for. You missed the bullseye. He loved you when you weren't even aiming. Can we just get back to God loves you? It's so much easier to overcome saying yes to Jesus than it is to try to say no to some other thing. Just say yes to Jesus. So if there's someone here, anyone here, I know most of you, but some of our new faces, if you're here today and you've never been a part of the family of God, you've never given your heart to the Lord and let Him be Savior of your life, if you're outside of the family of God, God is wooing you today. Come just as you are, and I will love you much more when you let me show it to you. If that's you, you've never accepted Jesus, you've never been born again, but today's your day. I don't want to talk you into it, because if I can talk you into it, somebody else will talk you out of it. But the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you. Today's my day to give my life to the Lord and let Him love me. If that's you, would you just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying for? I don't need any courtesy hands because I've been in this a long time. If you mean it with your heart, God means it with all His heart. Is there anyone? All right, then, one more question. Is there anyone here who has given their heart to the Lord, really does love Jesus, but the enemy has just beat you up over not hitting the bullseye, over missing the mark, over something going on that you just can't seem to get a hold of, and you just want prayed for? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You, Lord God, for honesty, vulnerability, people saying in their heart, I love Jesus, but I'm still struggling. Lord, I pray that they would struggle no longer because You loved them long before You called them. How much more can You love them now? Help them, Lord God, to see the truth that's found in Jesus. The simplicity of, if I'll just say yes to Jesus, in time, I will say no to all the other things. Help me to receive Your unconditional, unmerited, incredible love today, Father God. And help me just hold Your hand and walk with You in the cool of the day. And wherever we go, Father God, we'll see Your power demonstrated. And through that love, we'll be able to keep Your commandments, Father. I thank You for it, and I praise You for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.